Weltfunk.
Hallo und willkommen in der neuen Weltfunksendung. Heute wieder mit der Tibet-Initiative Deutschland, Regionalgruppe Ulm-Neu-Ulm. Mein Name ist Lotte Stevens. Heute zu Gast im FreeFM-Studio sind der jüngste Bruder des Dalai Lama, Tenzin Shögyal, und seine Frau, Rinchen Kando Shögyal. Sie befinden sich derzeit auf einer Benefiztournee zugunsten eines Frauenprojektes in Dharamsala, Indien, wo sie wohnen und wo sich auch der Sitz der tibetischen Exilregierung befindet. Das Gespräch haben wir am 23. November aufgezeichnet. FreeFM. Heute haben wir spezielle Gäste hier bei FreeFM. Wir trinken gerade zusammen eine Tasse Tee, eine schöne warme Tasse Tee. Und ich habe die Gelegenheit heute zu dieser Tasse Tee ganz interessante Gespräche zu führen. Today I am honored to welcome in our FreeFM studio Rinchen Kando Shögyal and Tenzin Shögyal from Tibet. And I would really like to give you a warm welcome to our FreeFM studios. How was your journey to come here?
Thank you for giving us this opportunity. But one thing is, we are Tibetans living in India, and we came from India, mm-hmm. not from Tibet today.
That is already an important point, because you have left Tibet, I think, in the 50s, right? You left your country. You had to leave your country and go in exile in India.
Yes, in 1959, the Chinese government occupied Tibet forcefully. So with His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama and about 80,000 people followed him, and then we escaped from our country into India, where the Indian government and the people very kindly gave us asylum. And since then we've been living in India and trying to make India our second home, and within that doing our level best to focus on our struggle, preserving culture and preserving the language and giving an identity to the children. Yes.
Also das Erste, was ich gesagt habe, ist natürlich, dass Sie aus Tibet kommen. Stimmt nicht ganz. In 59 haben Sie Tibet verlassen, Ihr Land, weil in dem Jahr der 14. Dalai Lama und 80.000 Menschen nach India geflüchtet sind, und da wohnen sie seitdem heute in Dharamsala. Und sie versuchen natürlich von dort aus auch die Kultur aufrecht zu halten, eine Verbindung zu behalten mit den anderen Tibetern und mit ihrer Kultur und alles, was so wichtig ist. Das darf nicht weggehen, das muss natürlich so bleiben. So, of course, the reason why you're here, you were invited to come speak here about a very important project that we will be talking about. Es ist der Tibet-Förderkreis in Zusammenarbeit mit der Tibet-Initiative Deutschland, Abteilung Ulm-Neu-Ulm. Der Förderkreis hat diese zwei besonderen Menschen eingeladen für das Projekt, das läuft und noch besser laufen sollte, weil sie natürlich viel, viel Unterstützung brauchen können. Und warum sie Unterstützung brauchen, das wird natürlich klar werden jetzt, weil das Projekt ist sehr schön, sehr wichtig und sehr mutig auch, würde ich sagen. The project started a long time ago. It's a project you rolled into. Maybe it would be interesting to tell us what your background is and how you came to this project that is actually about women, education and empowerment for Tibetan women, for Tibetan nuns, but in the future also for other women. How did you get to this project?
Yeah, to give you a little bit of a introduction about myself, I came to India in 1959 with my parents, who are no more now, and I got my little education in India. And from my student times, I always wanted to cherish my freedom, because I knew that the Tibetans inside Tibet did not have that. And so in cherishing the freedom, I wanted to do something for Tibet, for our country, for our nation. And so soon after my schooling, I got enrolled in the Tibetan Youth Congress because the Youth Congress really, again, stood for the Tibetan freedom. And then after that, when I got a little bit more mature and became a woman, and I again gave all my time to the Tibetan Women's Association because I believed that women also is a very, very important part of the community. And also, in 1959, on the 12th of March, it was women in Tibet who really went on the street against the Chinese government. So we in exile did not want this to be forgotten. So then I took the role of the president in the Women's Association and did whatever I could. Now, get to the point of my reason why I am here today is, when I saw the community that way, there was one area which was not quite rosy as the others. That was the situation of education of the nuns. The monks had a very profound system of education, monastic education, which is why today in this world, everybody understands what is Buddhism. Mm. But then when you look at the nuns, we had nuns from the time when we had monks in Tibet. They had beautiful nunneries. They had wonderful life in the nunneries. But when it came to education, there was no education. It was quite amazing for myself and some of us who really thought about it and said, how come this was never there before? But then the good thing is, it wasn't there, but that's past. Mm. Now today, His Holiness is saying, the nuns should study. They should be given the same degree as the monks if they prove to be capable of getting the degree. So we said, why not make the best of this opportunity? And that's how I gave my 35 years of my life to really make sure that this wonderful situation is created for the nuns. Because when I say nuns, I mean, we have wonderful Catholic nuns. We also have nuns in the Hindu tradition. So I hope the world understands what nuns are. Now, in the Tibetan tradition, when I say nuns, it's female form of the monks. You know, monks are in robes with shaven hair and all of that, many people know. But we also have the lady part of that, and then that they are the nuns. So now, when this is there, it must be in the correct form. Like His Holiness said, you should study. Unless you study, unless you get educated, just shaving your hair and wearing the robe does not make you a nun. Now, on the other hand, to become a nun is not easy because you're saying no to so many joys of so-called this life. Like starting a family, having a wonderful car, big houses. In principle, you're saying no to all of this. I want to lead a simple life. I don't want to have a family. I want to really devote myself to the development of my inner self. Mm-hmm. So this itself is a wonderful principle, which is why I really wanted to give my time for the nuns so that they could make that possible. Now, making time, making facilities for them is not a joke. It's a big problem because firstly, we don't have our country. We are living in exile as refugee. And then whatever we think of, we think of doing something, then we have to think of, but where will the money come from? So anyway, since we've done this for the last 50 years, sometimes I feel that we've become very professional beggars. But then I also look into myself and say, doesn't matter, because you're not begging for yourself. You're begging for something that is going to make a difference in the world in the long run, somewhere in a little corner. So this is how the whole Tibetan community survived till now. We retained our monastic education, our language, and all of this. And then also we were able to attract friends like the Tibet support groups all over the world. Why do they do this? Why do they support the Tibetans? Because they find something meaningful there.
Free FM.
Heute die Weltfunksendung über ein Projekt für tibetische Nonnen. Wir hören Rinchen Kando Chögyal erzählen, wie lange sie schon daran arbeitet, die Ausbildungsmöglichkeiten für die Nonnen zu verbessern. Jeder, so wie ich auch, hat schon mal Bilder von tibetischen Mönchen gesehen, in der typischen weinroten Robe, die Haare rasiert. Daran erkennt man sie eigentlich sofort. Was ich noch nie gesehen hatte, waren Bilder von tibetischen Nonnen. Die sehen genauso aus und leben auch in Klostern in Tibet, Indien und weltweit. Jedoch gibt es große Unterschiede, nämlich vor allem in der spirituellen Ausbildung. Die Mönche erhalten seit über 1000 Jahren eine umfassende Unterweisung. Für die Nonnen gab es dieses bisher gar nicht. Das Projekt in Dharamsala läuft sehr gut, erzählt Rinchen Chögyal, und soll bald auch für alle spirituell interessierte Frauen geöffnet werden, also nicht nur Nonnen. Ein Erfolg, würde ich sagen.
Now, you know, after 35 years, we've been able to create a system of education for the nuns, and 16 of them did their highest degree examination last year, mm-hmm. and they came out with flying colors. So I consider this a wonderful success, and also a wonderful empowerment for us women, because we sometimes talk a lot about empowerment, and I personally feel that it's very important to choose the right empowerment. And this, I feel, is the right empowerment because it focuses on your inner development, your spiritual development. So when a person is spiritually developed, then everything around that person can be so much more joyful, so much more peaceful, so much more compassionate. So that way, I feel that giving this opportunity to the nuns has been a wonderful opportunity. At the same time, although we had the principle, we had the learning and everything, but without the help of our Western friends from all over the world, we would not have been able to do this. So I'm very happy today, and I hope many of our supporters are also listening today. And I would like to tell everybody who has supported me with the Nuns Project to thank them and say that history of Tibet will never forget your kindness and your support. Now, this again leads me to another chapter, which is, I feel that in the monasteries, the monks and nuns study. You call it secular ethic or Buddhism or whatever. But the lay people, those who are not nuns, very often they don't get so much opportunity to study, because who will have 17 years to spend in a nun monastery to mm-hmm. study? So that way, I would like to create an opportunity for young women, or even women who want to study, to create an opportunity for them to also be able to study these same subjects by being who they are. They don't have to change and become nuns. So this is my new project. And, you know, over the years, I've had many young women from all over the world saying, could we join the nunnery and also study with them? And I say, yes, you're most welcome, but we don't have all the facilities. We can't have a translator next to you all the time. But over the years, it really made me think, one day it'll be so good if I could create something mm-hmm. for everybody to really benefit from. It might be something small, but, you know, it can grow and it can make a difference. So the point is, today I'm in Germany on the invitation of Wilfried Pfeffer, and trying to raise funds for my project, for this new project. And I am 70 years old now, and I really hope that we will be able to raise this as soon as possible, so that, maybe I'm being selfish, but so that before I die, I can see this learning center up.
Für alle Leute, die das jetzt hören und noch neugieriger geworden sind, es gibt eine Webseite, die man auch besuchen kann, www.tibet-kailash-haus.de. Kailash schreibt man K-A-I-L-A-S-H. Das ist eine Seite von dem Tibet-Förderkreis und da findet man auch alle Informationen, um auch eventuell mitzuspenden. Und ein bisschen kurz gesagt, was Rinchen Khandro Chögyal gerade alles erzählt hat. Sie hat einen langen Weg gemacht, schon bis heute, 35 Jahre hat sie erzählt. Beschäftigt sie sich schon, also schon über 35 Jahre, mit Bildung, mit Bildung. Sie war auch Bildungsminister und in dem, wie sagt man das, Jugendkongress. Und sie hat immer gemeint, wir können viele gute Sachen machen für alle Leute, die es brauchen, Kinder, ältere Leute, Männer, Frauen. Aber eine Gruppe hat sie irgendwann sich realisiert, haben wir noch nicht so versorgt. Und das waren nämlich die Nonnen, weil die haben zum Beispiel die Möglichkeit, um zu leben in einem Kloster, nur haben die keine Bildung. Also da hat noch ein Teil gefehlt und dafür haben sie jetzt ein Projekt aufgesetzt, schon lange her. Also 700 Nonnen haben davon schon profitiert und haben damit eine Ausbildung bekommen, Bildung, Education. Und jetzt, hat sie gesagt, wollen sie das auch offen machen für alle Frauen, für alle, die interessiert sind, nicht nur aus für Nonnen, sondern auch Frauen aus dem ganzen Universum sozusagen, die eben daran interessiert sind, können sich auch dahin bewegen.
Free FM.
Meine Frage ist natürlich jetzt, worüber darf ich mich freuen, wenn ich jetzt eine Spende mache? That's the question I am asking now. What exactly are you planning to do with this money?
Oh, this will create a living place for 30 students, mm-hmm. and also lecture halls, classrooms, and it's the infrastructure. And then also within that, there'll be their kitchen, there'll be their rooms. So this is the infrastructure where the students will come and stay.
And that's in Dharamsala in India? Mm-hmm. That is the location?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in Dharamsala in India and next to one of my nunneries.
Mm-hmm. And who are the teachers? Where do they come from? And in which language are you teaching also?
Oh, this has to be all taught in Tibetan language. Mm-hmm. And the teachers right now are all monks. Because if you go to India and in the South India and all over India, we have these wonderful monasteries where the monks are studying. And when they finish their studies, then they get sent to other institutions as teachers. So till now, we had to have called monks from these places. Mm-hmm. But now that we have nuns who have got the degree, very soon they will be able to teach them. Mm-hmm. And also nuns will be able to run their own nunneries. And also nuns can become teachers and they can also study Tibetan medicine, which is a wonderful medical system. And so this education has really opened mm-hmm. lots of doors for the nuns and for women in general. Yeah.
And of course, this is all about supporting women, empowering women. But of course, you can take any help you need from men, and specifically from your husband. You're getting lots of support. He came with you. Tenzin Chögyal, you have been listening to your wife explaining. Of course, it is important for me also to address you and be grateful for the support that you are also delivering for this project. How is this experience for you, and how do you look at your wife and her project? What does it make so meaningful?
Yeah, you know, I find it kind of very gratifying to see. Now, she had mentioned that there wasn't much of a scope for nuns to get educated. So she went and went into an area where there's a lot of challenge in male-dominated world. So when this whole project came up, and I found it very, very gratifying, and I think it's a wonderful thing somebody had done this. Because, may I speak freely?
Yes, please.
Now, I have, I think all over the world, there is some kind of a discrimination against women.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. You say everybody's free, this and that. Even in some countries, the salary is lower than male. You can't say it's equal. So I think women have suffered in the field of education. Maybe in the 20th century, there was a breakage, see, and some breakthrough. But all over the world, I think women definitely need attention and treated kindly and equally.
Das ist natürlich für ihn auch, für Tenzin Shigyal, der Grund, um mitzukommen und mit nach Deutschland zu reisen, diese 2 Wochen, weil er natürlich unglaublich damit einverstanden ist, dass die Frauen allgemein in der Geschichte auch immer zu wenig Bildung bekommen haben und in vielen Ländern, ich würde fast sagen allen Ländern, weniger bezahlt bekommen für den gleichen Job als Männer. Vorher hat Rinchen Kandro Shigyal noch erzählt, was da so wichtig ist, was sie gerade bauen für diese Frauen. Das ist natürlich vor allem die Infrastruktur, die da fehlt. Und da werden Klassen gebaut, da werden Unterkünfte gebaut in Indien, in Dharamsala. Und da wird dann natürlich nachher unterrichtet. Und es sind dann die Brüder, die unterrichten werden. Und da bekommen dann die Nonnen und auch andere Frauen, die das wollen, ihre Bildung und können dann, so wie 16 Nonnen neulich, quasi einen Abschluss holen und dann auch Medizin oder sowas können sie machen oder sie können auch selber unterrichten dann in Zukunft. Also das alles hilft natürlich allgemein, also die ganze Welt, um es so ganz groß zu sagen. Und was natürlich auch eine Frage ist von mir, ist, was mit der Religion, was spielt Religion dann jetzt auch in dieser Ausbildung für eine Rolle? What is the role of religion in this education? Is there a role for it? Is it important that it be a religious education?
That to me personally mm-hmm. is not important that you call it a religion.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is what you learn from there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at it, it is really a philosophy, not a religion as mm-hmm. such. Of course, every religion has lots of wonderful principles, but down the line, it seems to have changed over the history. That's with all the religions. But here today, we live in this wonderful century, in a way, that we can look around, we can really see. And those of us who have a little bit of intelligence, we can make out what really makes it a philosophy. And then also you come to the conclusion that there's hardly any difference between all the so-called religions. Maybe there are little differences here, but I don't want to go into the mm-hmm. differences. And I don't want to, we have enough of differences, mm-hmm. so I don't want to talk about this. But anyway, the girls, yes, the nuns from the Himalayan regions of India, then also nuns from other countries, they come and study there. So I'm very happy that we are creating this opportunity for all of them to learn this. And now with this new institute, I am really trying to, I'm thinking of focusing it more on secular ethic than calling it a nunnery or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because secular ethics is something that it's very close to His Holiness's mind. And also, I think that's what the world needs today. Secular ethics to me does not mean that you're doing away with religion. Mm-hmm. I think this means you're really getting to the core of the matter so that we can benefit more from there.
Free FM.
Tenzin Jugyal, you are the youngest brother of His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama. Does he know about this project? Is this something he's supporting?
You know, whatever project, now, as a matter of fact, I think it was His Holiness who suggested to revive the Women's Association in which she was involved.
Yeah.
That was, I think, about 20 years ago?
No.
20 years ago?
Then? 35 years ago.
Huh?
35
okay.
years.
35 years ago. Then thereupon, His Holiness also suggested, how about doing something for the nuns' education? So actually, it was His Holiness's hints that people took over in this project. Then also, the project that's going to come up for non-nuns, lay women's project or institution, His Holiness has already given a name.
Okay.
So he knows this.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are talking, when you are speaking here to raise the funds, you are talking about these secular ethics and basically globalization and the world today I would say, I have to admit I'm not a very, I'm actually a positive spirit, but I can also I sometimes also am sad about the way some things are evolving in the world. It becomes more individualistic, and there's let's say money in a bad way is more important. Like greed is more important, taking over more on a global scale. Countries battling with each other. Yeah. What is your message you would like to bring here? About this, about the globalization, and how can we, and also with this project, have an influence on the way it is evolving?
Yeah. I think, globalization means sharing our wealth, trying to be a mutual help. I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But if globalization means having a monopoly, I don't think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think globalization sort of affects a lot of small shops, particularly in India. And they got no work. So if it kills the smaller enterprises, then I think it's some sort of a bullying, no?
Yeah.
It's not right. So, but then again, I think very often we do things without thinking.
Also das war jetzt kurz zu Globalisierung und was da halt abgeht an Streit und so. Und er meint auch, viele Menschen tun Sachen, ohne darüber wirklich nachzudenken. Was sind die Konsequenzen? Was bedeutet das eigentlich, das, was ich mache für mich? Und was hat das für Folgen, die eventuell für anderen nicht so gut sind? Something I see around me, friends and other people I know, many people are struggling to find like a personal balance, and I personally as well, I daily ask myself the question, what is the good thing to do? How do I keep the balance between taking care of myself as a person, of my body and soul as a whole, taking care of me, to lead a good life, then the question, what is that good life and how do I take care not only of myself but also of the people around me? How come that so many people, I have the impression, struggle with this and are aware of the fact that as one person you can make a difference, but how do you make a difference in your life and in the life of others? How do I cope with this big question and insecurity How do you do this in your life, for example?
No, I'm not an expert. I struggle with the same things you have also said. But I think through my experience and looking at people's life, my life, I think we lack discipline. Mm-hmm. And we think discipline is some kind of a harassment for us. Mm-hmm. Discipline is something that comes in the way that you don't want to do. But actually, discipline protects you. See, if you look in human history, those societies that really had good discipline fared well. Now, for instance, I'm not praising, but the Germany that I know, mm-hmm. I think you fellows really have discipline, mm-hmm. particularly maybe for work. Mm-hmm. But that's good. You know, we are not animals. We should have discipline. Now, in all spiritual tradition, discipline becomes the foundation of happiness. Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, today, everybody likes to be free, right? But we really don't know how to handle freedom. And freedom becomes destructive sometimes. Mm-hmm. So freedom has to be accompanied with wisdom, no? So I think each one learn, you know. There isn't a particular equation, but I think discipline is a foundation. I think it's very important. Today we don't have that. And discipline has to be voluntary.
Okay.
Then also, you know, within that, I think we have to have some kind of mindfulness. And today we don't, we are not mindful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mindfulness practice is coming up. People sort of just see the value. That's only on the intellectual level. But, you know, even in Christian tradition, you had contemplatives. You know, you think of all those, you know, without thinking, you can't do anything. So therefore, a discipline, thinking, wisdom, and take it easy.
Okay, Disziplin ist was fehlt manchmal, und er lobt gerade auch hier in Deutschland zum Beispiel die Arbeitsethik, sag mal, Disziplin, wo Menschen doch ganz arg ihr Bestens machen zu arbeiten und damit auch die Wirtschaft zum Beispiel zu supporten. Aber sagt er, ganz wichtig ist, dass Disziplin freiwillig sein muss. Es muss keine Disziplin sein, die aufgelegt wird, sondern eine Disziplin, die von dem Menschen auskommt, von der Person aus. Und wir haben heutzutage viel Freiheit, sagt er auch. Gerade sprechen wir hier auf Free FM, sagt natürlich auch schon viel. Freiheit ist gut, nur muss es zusammenlaufen mit Weisheit. Also Freedom and Wisdom, die müssen gleichzeitig da sein, weil sonst hat man mit der Freiheit ja, Unsicherheit und kann es auch destruktiv werden, diese Freiheit.
Free FM.
What you want to achieve with this project is not just a classroom and non-studying. It's more than that, right? Mm. You dream of much more. What is it you wish to achieve?
Oh, much more, much more. As I said, for me to have people to understand the value in this project is everything today. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't thank my husband enough for understanding the reason why I want to do this. And his support has been there for all these years, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, knowing that His Holiness also supports this gives me a lot of energy, that gives me a lot of confidence. And the other interesting thing is, like my husband said, he's already given the name. His Holiness has mm-hmm. given a name for this project, which is called Yangqin Lopel. Yangqin Lopel means increase of the feminine wisdom, which I thought was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. We never thought what, I mean, he just gave it, so that was wonderful. And so, let's hope maybe this is the increase, you know, this is a some sort of a contribution towards the increase of the feminine wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also I think You know this Institute for Women, Lay Women? Mm-hmm. I think it's important because we are running this as a pilot project. Mm-hmm. There's only 30. Now, we also have a nunnery that has about 200 nuns, right?
240.
But the way trends are going, I think people becoming nuns would be less and less. Mm-hmm. So later on, this becomes Buddhist college for women. And the nunnery can be something like what has happened to Oxford and mm-hmm. Cambridge. In the beginning, both Cambridge and Oxford were created to train priests. Mm-hmm. Then later on, it was open to lay people. Mm-hmm. So something like that would be wonderful.
Also es geht um viel mehr als nur ein Gebäude, wo man dann unterrichten kann. Das geht um viel mehr. Und ich kann auf jeden Fall nochmal die Webseite wiederholen. www.tibet-kailash-house.de. Und eine letzte Frage. Ist natürlich die Hoffnung, irgendwann wieder nach Tibet gehen zu können. Today you are living in India, you are being supported by the Indian government in your project, in your life there?
No, we are allowed to stay there.
You're allowed to stay there.
Definitely.
Okay.
And government of India, even though it's difficult for government to, face the Chinese, but I think we're getting a fair deal. After all, it's a big problem, mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. relation between India and mm-hmm. China.
Yeah.
So we have freedom to do whatever we want, and our administration looking after Tibetans by Tibetan offices, mm-hmm. I think the expenses are paid by the government of India. So we are okay.
Yeah, you're okay.
But, as I mentioned before, I think the world should wake up that Tibet is challenged very much because China is, allowed to behave like she is. I think people should wake up.
Mm-hmm. And you have strong hope that one day you will move back to Tibet, that Tibetans will be living in their own country again. Is that hope still strong with everyone living in exile in other countries?
Oh, yeah, I think majority, yes. There will be a few people who might think otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we always say next year in Lhasa.
Okay, you say that? Okay. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us. Is there anything I forgot to ask? Anything you want to share?
Runs, come and visit us.
I will take this invitation. Okay. We can do a Free FM on tour to visit your project.
I would like to add a little bit here, since you asked us how mm-hmm. we are faring in India.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could not find a better place to live as refugees than India. Okay, living conditions are very basic, people are very poor, but then the wonderful thing is they allowed us to be us.
Very
I think
tolerant.
This is very, very important. That is the biggest quality of India, tolerant of other religions, other culture, other people. That's really wonderful. And then of course, financially, we've been supported by the international community, not by the Indian people.
Mm.
We can't expect that also because they have a lot of problems of their own. So His Holiness's strict direction for our people was, you live in India and you work hard. Don't be a burden on the host. So I think we're really in general, we really did this well. And then also we have a saying in Tibetan, when you drink the water of a country, you obey the law of that country. So here again, you can hardly hear any trouble made by the Tibetans. I mean, what little bit of here and there, it has to be there because after all, we are human beings. But nothing really big at all. So that way, we share the culture so much to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Buddhism came from India, so Tibetans had a great respect for India, even before we lost our country. So that way, I think yeah, we are doing okay. Mm-hmm. And then, but then I always say, but then I always say, we didn't come to live in India, nor in America. We came to, so that we can go back to a free Tibet.
Die letzte Sachen, die Sie noch geteilt haben, ist, dass Sie eben in Indien gut leben können. Es ist alles basic, aber Sie haben, was Sie dort brauchen und sind auch international unterstützt. Und wichtig ist eben, dass Sie dort, wo Sie leben, weiterhin diese tibetische Kultur stark halten. Und ich bin natürlich heute ganz dankbar, dass ich ein bisschen von dieser Kultur gespürt habe. Thank you so much for being here today, Rinchen Kandro Shugyal and Tenzin Shugyal. It was a real pleasure and honor to speak with you in person, and you are beautiful spirits and very kind, and I wish you all the best for your project. Thank you very, 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 very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Alles auf www.freefm.de, auch an Links und Informationen und so weiter. Und vielen, vielen Dank habe ich auch heute für den Tibet-Förderkreis, für auch die Tibet-Initiative Deutschland, Ulm und Neu-Ulm und auch für Wilfried Pfeffer und Sonja Putz, die auch hier unterstützt haben und das alles ermöglicht haben. Vielen Dank und schönen Tag noch.
Free FM.
Und schon sind wir wieder am Ende der Sendung. Ich möchte euch noch auf ein paar wichtige kommende Veranstaltungen hinweisen. Zunächst am 20.02. um 19 Uhr in der VH wird Herr Wolfgang Grader, der Vorsitzende der Tibet-Initiative Deutschland ist, einen Vortrag halten mit dem Titel Tibet, Never Give Up. Der Inhalt wird sein vom Partisanenkrieg zur heutigen Gewaltlosigkeit. Eine sehr wichtige Aktion findet statt am 10. März, und zwar unsere alljährliche Flaggenaktion, die wir abhalten, um an den Volksaufstand am 10. März 1959 zu erinnern, der Tag, an dem auch der Dalai Lama aus Tibet floh. Die Demo wird beginnen um 11 Uhr beim Rathaus Neu-Ulm und sich dann quer durch Neu-Ulm, Ulm zum Synodom bewegen, und wir werden an allen Stationen und Institutionen, die sich an der Beflaggung beteiligen, unter anderem auch Radio Free FM, Station machen und eine kurze Schweigeminute einlegen. Wir würden uns sehr freuen, wenn sich der eine oder andere aufraffen könnte, mitzugehen. Nochmal das Datum, 10. März, der Demostart ist um 11 Uhr, Rathaus Neu-Ulm. Noch eine ganz wichtige Sache, unser alljährlicher Bücherflohmarkt findet wieder statt, und zwar am Palmsonntag, 25.03. von 9 bis 18 Uhr, wie immer im Rathaus Pfaffenhofen im Rahmen des Frühlingsmarktes. Kommt zahlreich, mein Keller ist wieder gut gefüllt, es ist bestimmt für jeden was dabei. Unser nächstes Gruppentreffen ist am 12. März, wie immer um 19 Uhr im Museumscafé. Wir treffen uns jeden zweiten Montag im Monat und freuen uns über alle Interessierte, die auch einfach mal nur so bei uns vorbeischauen wollen. Umfassende Informationen gibt es unter www.tibet-initiative.de. Unter den Terminen in der Rubrik könnt ihr auch alle bisher genannten Termine nochmal nachlesen. Und aktuelle Infos und Geschichten und Bilder gibt es immer unter Facebook Tibet Ulm. Unsere nächste Weltfunksendung wird sein am 12. April um 18 Uhr und beschäftigt sich mit dem Thema der wachsende Einfluss Chinas weltweit und insbesondere über die Konfuzius-Institute. Auf der Webseite der Tibet-Initiative, ich sage nochmal die Adresse, www.tibet-initiative.de, könnt ihr euch an einer Petition beteiligen, und zwar geht es um einen tibetischen Künstler, einen Autor, der in Haft sitzt für das, dass er seine Meinung gesagt hat und eben einen Blog betreibt, in dem er immer wieder regimekritische Gedichte veröffentlicht. Und wir würden uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr euch an dieser Aktion beteiligen würdet. Ja, wir freuen uns, wenn ihr wieder zuhören werdet, und verabschieden uns bis demnächst.
Tschüss. Weltfunk.